This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Metropolitan Atlanta is, of course, a big urban area, but it's also a college town with many institutions of higher learning, and that's one reason why a lot of attention's being paid around here to a newly proposed campus rape bill now in Congress. Last week, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators introduced a bill to require colleges and universities to publish information they receive about incidents of sexual assault on their campuses, with the threat of major fines if they don't do that. Dr. Jill Lee Barber is a licensed psychologist. She is director of psychological and health services at Georgia State University here in Atlanta. Dr. Barber, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Georgia State has a website that actually talks to students about sexual assault, and one of the interesting quotes on it is, "No matter how careful you are, it may not be possible to prevent sexual assault. It is not your fault." On the one hand, that's reassuring, but does it bother you or even scare you a bit to have to say that? You know, no matter how careful you are, it may not be possible to prevent it. Is that the way things are, not just at Georgia State, but on campuses around the country?
Well, what we know is that one in five women experiences sexual assault while she's in college. And so we know that there are certain things that we can do in order to protect ourselves. However, we also know that these assaults do happen.
This legislation would require colleges and universities to take really anonymous surveys of students. First of all, do we know how comprehensive those surveys would be? And secondly, is GSU doing anything like that right now?
Well, we're in the process of developing a survey. It would be really helpful if there were a single survey that universities would use so that there would be a single point of comparison from one university to another. And we're definitely in the process of developing what we're going to do around a survey.
As you mentioned, a White House task force found that one in five women on campus, they estimate, is the target of sexual assault or rape. Is there any way to tell whether Georgia State has a similar rate, or is it the kind of thing that the university is still developing?
Well, Georgia State is not atypical. I couldn't exactly estimate the number, but I believe that we are not atypical. This year, we have expanded services for students who experience sexual assault. In the past, we had a staff member who had victim assistance as a part of her role within the Office of the Dean of Students. And this year we've expanded that to a full-time position in Victim Assistance Services Office.
Do you think, as someone who's on the front lines of this, someone to whom a victim might go first, do you think that's enough?
Well, it's not all that we have. We actually have the Victim Assistance Service Office, and we have a number of different ways that students can get support. That's a confidential reporting office, but we also have the Student Health Clinic, the Counseling Testing Center, the Office of the Dean of Students, Student Health Promotion. And in terms of enough, really what we're trying to do here at Georgia State is to provide multiple venues so that our campus partners are aware of the issue and can actually refer students who experience this to the right places so that they can get support, so that what happens doesn't end up interrupting their educational experience any more than necessary. One of the most important aspects of responding to a victim of sexual assault is ensuring that we're able to help that person reestablish a sense of control. The experience of trauma, which we define as something that threatens our life or our bodily integrity, oftentimes will shatter that basic assumption about how the world works. We might no longer be able to think that the world is fair, or that good things happen to us when we do the right things, or bad things happen to bad people. We might not believe that other people are basically benevolent or something like that. So what accompanies an event like this is often an experience of a loss of control. And I think one of the most helpful interventions that we can do on campus here is to have an office that multiple offices can refer students to so that that student can get information and support about the resources available and have some choices, reestablish that sense of control so that that student can make informed decisions about their health care, whether they want counseling, if they want a report, and just really get their hands back on that control panel.
Among the options you listed are some where the report brought by the person who says she's been victimized does not have to go to law enforcement necessarily. It's confidential. But does the fact that a report has been made, just the number, if you will, does that have to go somewhere?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you know whether reports go beyond, say, campus police?
That I don't know.
That brings up the issue of whether universities, colleges, for understandable reasons perhaps, are terribly eager to report this. Is that really a cultural shift that has to happen if we're going to make progress on this?
Well, it may be. I know here at Georgia State, what we've done in terms of our on-campus education about what is sexual assault, what is consent, where can one report, and so on, we've done these things without being required to do so. So we've gotten perspective from the White House. Now we've gotten perspective from Congress. So for us, these this information is sort of validating that the direction we're moving is the right direction. So I think there is a culture shift that's going on in this area, and for us, it feels that we're moving in the right direction sort of in advance of that being legislated.
Obviously, colleges and universities are still taking a look at this legislation, but is there anything from what you know about it so far and these reporting requirements that GSU might object to or that you as a counselor might say that's either wrong or might produce unintended consequences?
So far, no. I mean, we're doing many of the pieces of this already.
There was a quote in the New York Times from Ann Neal, president of the American Council of Trustees and Alumni, who said, "Colleges are simply unable to play judge, jury, and executioner when they're already having trouble playing educator. Resources are limited, and colleges must put their focus on their primary objective, education." How does that strike you?
Well, my role here is in psychological and health services, so I'm more on the front line of seeing students who are impacted and looking to, in any way that we can, support those students and mitigate the impact so that their educational experiences can continue. And in a sense, ensuring that they get what they came to Georgia State University to get, and that's the, you know, a high-quality education. So how that strikes me, again, from my place, I really just want to make sure that those students who have the experience, we know that students are having that experience, can still benefit and receive the education they came to get.
Are more women reporting now?
I guess that's an empirical question. I think the more we raise awareness of what rape is and what incapacitation is, what consent is, the more people may begin to realize what is not okay. And so we may have more reports, whereas in the past those things may not have been reported.
Before I was able to talk to you, I called a number of the local and area colleges and universities and had very difficult time getting anyone who would actually agree to talk to me, at least so far. Some phone calls were not even returned. Does that tell you that there is perhaps in the front office of not just GSU, but as a general thing in this area and perhaps around the country, that there is still a reluctance to admit that this is going on?
Well, that may be true. It also may be true that perfectionism sometimes keeps people from speaking out about a problem, in a sense that if we can't do something perfectly or say something perfectly, then we would rather not speak out about the problem at all. Because speaking out at all opens you to criticism. And my own philosophy about that is different. It is that I might not speak perfectly about something, but to say that our university is committed to making education available and safe for all students, and here's what we're doing, and as we do it, we'll learn to do it even better and better, is what I'd like to be able to do. And so someone may, you may, or another reporter may ask a question that's tough, or I may say, gosh, Don, you know, that's not my area, or Dennis, that's not my area. Another administrator could speak to that better. That's okay with me. But I think whenever there's something new, people may not want to speak because they might not be able to do it perfectly.
So do you think that this legislation, as someone who is on the front lines of this, do you think that this legislation is something that will actually move things forward when it comes to curbing sexual assault on campus?
I hope so. I'm a psychologist who's treated this for my whole career, and I'm the mother of a daughter and have nieces, and I truly, truly hope so.
Dr. Jill Lee Barber is a licensed psychologist. She is director of psychological and health services at Georgia State University. Dr. Barber, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.